Hey y'all, this is Kiva. As promised, only a week later, here is the second half of episode 2, Embrace the Rejection. Last week, Kiki talked about how she is going to deal with rejection going forward, and Kiva explained why she can't be submissive. Let's get into the rest of the episode. Hope you enjoy. So I am a natural nurturer. But even in my nurturing, I don't do everything for my kids. I don't helicopter. I definitely want to be a support and for my kids as like safety net. But even with my current relationship, one of the things that has put me off is that there was one time where I was talking about where I was like, everyone needs to go.
Mm-hmm.
I need time. And he goes, you're going to tell them that too, right? And I was like, no. Yes, but also, those are the kids. Are you my partner or are you the kid? And I'm not okay with that. I don't want to nurture. Not my partner. I will totally take mm-hmm. you under my mm-hmm. wing if you need, you know, mm-hmm. home and whatnot. But you can't be my partner in that.
Yes. Yes.
That I'm put off.
I know. Even that statement puts him more in the child place than the
right.
Partner
You're
place.
Gonna tell them that too. Why
sounds
are you
like,
worried
sounds like
about
the older
this?
Brother? Or the
right, right.
You're gonna tell so and so they gotta do the same. You picked them over me, which is what the older younger sibling conversation
is. And I've had that, a few times with dudes in up against my mm-hmm. my oldest daughter, especially mm-hmm. because she's been with me the longest, but. Where they're like, ooh, that. I'm like, that's my kid. I made her in my belly. And then she came out mm-hmm. my vagine. Mm-hmm. I'm invested.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's my story of rejection. So have you ever experienced rejection and how did you handle it?
Plenty of times.
Yes.
I have handled it differently every time.
Yes, as we all do.
I experienced a lot of rejection through my young years.
Mm-hmm.
It was weird rejection though, because it then later came with like, well, I did always think you were cute. So I've experienced rejection, but we can on the low. That definitely fucked me up for a while. And then I've experienced rejection just like outright, I'm not interested. Mm-hmm. And I'm okay with that. I've experienced rejection after a long-term relationship. I ended it, but that same relationship, like he was trying for a year after we broke up to get back together with me. And so then after a year, when I finally was like, okay, fine, let's try it. Then he goes, well, there's this girl that I'm not quite sure I want to give up on.
I hear that story so yeah. many times.
That crushed me. I was heartbroken. Yeah. I think I cried and cried yeah. and cried forever after mm-hmm. that. I didn't cry and cry and cry when I broke up with him. I was more angry. There were times that I was irritated, maybe because he was still pursuing me, then mm-hmm. there was still an attachment there mm-hmm. that I could feed off of
yes.
in some way, I guess. But finally coming to, all right, fine, let's try,
mm-hmm.
and having him immediately go back. Like, it was a voice message on Thanksgiving that he was probably drinking. Hey, mm-hmm. let's try it again. Aww. And I called him the next Aww. Day, and he... That's what he said. I'm not quite sure I want to give up
goodness.
On her yet.
So, yeah, I hear that story a lot. It must be so common for men. And I can't remember. I want to be fair and say from both genders, but I don't remember it being a story that I heard from a woman's side like that.
It's because we're sneakier.
But I have definitely heard a lot of guys trying to get their partner back. Then they get their partner back and then they say, well, I'm actually seeing this person, not sure if I want to let her go. And then they try to date both of you or explore something with both of you. Another reason why people should be doing poly.
Yeah, perhaps.
Or what is going on in the psyche for people to, maybe it's to chase Maybe they felt rejected and they had to get you back.
That I think is definitely in play. So that they can
reject you and boost their ego.
That's what I think it is. I've seen women do this and I don't understand it.
Yeah, it's so cruel.
I've experienced where we were dating and building our bond. Then it was just like that time where like, okay, so what is going on? And it takes a long time for me to do that. I'm not... anyway, going date number four. So what do you want with me? It's like 6 months down the line. Yes. What's the intention here? And it was weird because then it changed to that he didn't feel comfortable. That's where I feel really odd. I'm like, really? Because you've like told me so fucking much about you. And actually, dude, in comparison, you really don't know me, but I know you. So I think you're just scared.
Well, let the church say amen. This, going back to what we talked about in the last week or last show, was in relationships, you learn a lot about yourself.
Yeah.
And even though this person and I wasn't in a relationship, it, one, helped me figure out, oh, I'm feeling rejection. Two, oh, I'm internalizing this rejection, which I have never had to think. Well, I don't think I never thought about it because, one, I didn't experience a rejection with the like the same practices I have today. So, but then I was like, okay, let me learn more about rejection. Let me figure out what I'm doing and what's more of a positive way to handle it. And this is why I do think it's important for us to have relationships.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And thinking about what we talked about last week, and I was like, let me ask Kiva, because Kiva was saying last week, and if you haven't heard the show, listen to it, but you were saying your soulmate is your best friend. But are all your needs met by your best friend? And so is that more reasons to be in an intimate relationship with someone that you are able to experience the fullness of you and them and life?
What year was this? It's been a while. My best friend lives in England, in London. So it's bad because she's so fucking far away. And she is married. Let her know, of course, that I was coming to London because I was in the London Burlesque Festival. We're all planned out. I'm booked. My flight is booked. I'm leaving in 2 days. She calls me the night before. Did you maybe want to go to Venice? Because I have these days off and you have these days off. And so I came out and I did my thing. And we went to Venice for 3 days.
Yes.
All my needs? Sure. All the things of like the emotional needs. We are not physically, sexually.
Well, that's what I'm talking biologically. Yeah,
some people fuck their friends. I don't. Yeah, because I know I a think lot of that, people that does that. But I think sex is really complicates things.
Yeah.
I think that my needs get met. I think sex is more of
a nice to have versus a need.
I think I can take it and put it somewhere else and be fine.
Yeah, I don't think we need, well, we don't need anything. The reality is we don't need anything. It's extremely nice to have those biological needs met. That if you're not sleeping with your friend, then you sort of do need that more intimate relationship where you could experience the fullness of who you are. No.
I definitely think that I find my sexual, romantic, monogamous relationships to be more about them trying to put me in a box. Or make sure that I'm all for them, which is
possessive.
Some of the
I attract a lot of possessive men.
Yeah.
Well, I think we need to get like the male and female perspective of poly, because my job in this podcast is to convert.
She's trying to make me poly.
I really think, from what I hear and the little I know about poly, I feel like there might be a great fit for you and the poly community.
I think...
are ethically monogamous, where you don't have to be in relationship.
I am single-ish. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I'm... because I'm in a weird space at the moment. Disregard my it's complicated status.
You're the true meaning of it's complicated.
But on my own, I guess... is sex more satisfying in a relationship for me?
I don't know that it's more satisfying, the sex with that person that's satisfying. I don't think it has to do, of course, there's all the other elements. Do I trust them enough to let myself let go, all of that? Those kind of trusts is very different from whatever emotional is, physical, sexual is very different.
I think sex is so much
better. I can compartmentalize a lot more than a lot of people do. So I think I can really separate that. Okay. A lot.
Well, I was trying to convince Kiva that she needs a relationship, our intimate relationship outside of friendship. But I can understand, because all the things that I talked about that you learn in a intimate romantic relationship, you can definitely learn with your friends and go through all the different experiences.
And then just fuck someone else.
Just fuck someone
that
else.
That doesn't require so much ownership.
Yeah. I do think sex is better when it's all of those. The emotional connection, the trust, all those things. Because then you can fully let go. And then also, you know, when I do think size doesn't matter, it is when you are in a relationship and you have all these other things, then it makes sex more enjoyable no matter their size.
I've had an orgasm off of a thumb of a penis.
Yeah, I had one of those.
But that's because I like the lap dance position and you have a lot of control.
My only one night stand.
One?
Was with somebody who had like a pinky or a thumb. He was Nigerian, and I know all stereotypes are not
incredibly
true.
Incredibly disappointing.
Unfortunately, yes, I was in graduate school. I was in DC. We met at a club. It was great kissing. The next day, he took me on a date. We went to go eat some Nigerian food, which is still my best Nigerian restaurant in DC. And every time I go there, I think of that. Like, so we went on a date, and then he took me back to his house, and we had sex, and it was so quick, and it was so small, and I'm like, I wasted my numbers on you.
It's so disappointing when it's not good. I just think that we should be able to take the notch off. I could take half off for certain if we could just erase the bad sex. The bad sex shouldn't count.
I know, that was so awful. Yeah, so I don't know if I should count him as a number, but I do.
We were talking earlier about like fetishes and things that people not giving. I'm not saying it, but I will tell you that my kink is incredibly specific.
So that means you haven't told any of your partners or exes? Why?
No, because they can't fulfill it.
Is it a big dick?
No.
What is it? I don't know if I have any fetishes. So maybe that's the whole
fantasy fetish kink. Things, taboo things that turn you on.
I gotta think about it.
Weird.
I don't know.
Very specific. I didn't used to watch porn. I do now. And some of the porn that I watch is like,
oh, it's your fantasy?
No one would, I'm not telling you, no one would, no, everyone would look at it like,
why are you not telling nobody? Why are you not telling your partners?
Because they can't fulfill it and it will make them very, very, very.
Why can't they fulfill it? You don't know if they can fulfill it. Just like the fetish feet people.
No, I know they can't. Because it's incredibly specific.
I'm so interested in what it is. You got to give somebody a chance to see if they can actually fulfill it.
They cannot because it's incredibly specific. And it's just a fantasy kink.
So you're going to go the rest of your life without experiencing it?
No, I'm going to, I'll experience it in my singledom. But it's not something that I need to feel fulfilled. There's a difference in that, like, this is a fantasy. But it's not the same thing as something that you need to feel fulfilled, which is what a fetish is.
I see. So this is more of like a once in a lifetime. It happens. So when Kiva does have this experience, you have to come back and tell us.
No.
Yes!
Okay, I'll tell you. I
got
it.
This is our journal and our personal story. And this is so interesting. I'm so curious.
It kind of for me, requires me to be single. So.
Oh, so it's not. So is it something that you wouldn't want to do with your partner all the time?
I wouldn't want to do with my partner at all.
Yeah. So my researcher is like, let me just get all the clues and then I'll go back to the Google it and figure it out because I am a great researcher. Wow. Okay. This is interesting. Have you ever told a guy or someone you were dating that you have this fantasy? No, because that would be unkind to tell them, huh?
It would be, because then they'd be bugging me about it.
What about about if you ever get married? And would you tell your husband?
If I marry someone, it would be because I could tell them.
Oh, so why aren't you telling them? Is it because you feel like you can't tell them because they're uncomfortable?
Because it would become a whole big weird ass thing. Just like every I was a stripper. And even when I haven't been working in strip clubs for 10 years or more, it's still an issue for some dudes.
Yeah, I'm sure.
That I was at some point. Mm-hmm. It's still an issue that, whatever, fuck it. I can be a very promiscuous woman. Mm-hmm. When I'm single. When I'm with someone, I am faithful.
Yes.
But when I'm single,
I can definitely confirm that is the case. Because I have tried to talk Eva over to the dark side.
No. When I'm in a relationship, I'm within that commitment.
Yes.
And I honor that commitment until it's at its very, very end and we say no more. But outside of a commitment, I'm not the same. And I think that's in the spirit of getting to know myself better mm-hmm. at this point with the lessons learned mm-hmm. in that relationship. Mm-hmm. This is now a new me.
When you're in a relationship and it feels like it's probably coming to an end, do you look forward to that? Like, oh, I get to be single and I get to do all these fun things.
Oh, yeah. When I see the end coming, I can't wait for it.
Yeah, I'm sure. Because single life sounds fun.
So much better than the stressful ass life. My dad always had this thing since I was like 30. Mm-hmm. He's made comments on, you don't want to end up like your grandmother, just single, just alone. And I'm like, my granny's fucking fine.
On his side or your
mom's
side?
My mom.
Yeah, I think guys always try to hold that over us.
They right?
Feel, yeah.
I would rather be alone than have to do your laundry.
As someone who is looking to be in a relationship,
do you want to do their laundry?
No. I was going to say I do overstand the benefits of being single. And it's actually a beautiful life. I'm sure being in a relationship is going to also bring it's going to multiply joy. But being single is not a bad thing. Life mm-hmm. is so much, I mean, life is better. Well, let me not say better. Life is good. Life is great.
Full.
And I think life will be full and beautiful in relationship with the right person. So.
And your relationships can be on a spectrum. It doesn't have to be full committed.
Yes.
Because when you met me, I was with tall dude.
Yes.
But he was not ever my official boyfriend. Yeah. And that was a big issue for him. Yeah. Actually, no. He knows my kink. I forgot. I told him.
So would you go back to him when you get single?
No. He can't. He doesn't fulfill it. You know, he knows my kink. It's a problem.
Oh, interesting. I can't wait to find out what this kink is.
If I were to see myself ending up, I don't really know if that's a thing that I do anymore. See myself ending up with for like my life partner is not my kink.
I think because this is a personal journal, our journal, I think you're going to have to share it with the world at some point.
Eventually.
And maybe it's like, I think folks will be eager to know. And
they're just nosy.
Yeah,
It doesn't matter what my kink is. What matters is how I get through it.
I gotta think about if I have a kink or I have a fantasy or I have a fetish. Well, you know, or I should say extreme fantasy. Like I want to have sex in a hot tub or in the ocean. But that's not.
You're so cute.
Such a romantic.
Such a romantic, and I'm over here fucking slut.
I want to have sex in the ocean or the jacuzzi, but that's not a. I don't know if that's not a fantasy.
It's a fantasy if you haven't done it.
Okay, you know I haven't done it. That would be something I would like to do.
I just want to give some of my jacuzzi experiences to you because I have at least 20.
See, I haven't had one. Come to me.
Come
to me, dear one.
I want jacuzzi sex for
my
you.
I know. I want jacuzzi sex on vacation. Even it could be with a partner, but also with someone that I've met on vacation.
That could be sexy.
I know.
All of the beautiful moments, because I travel a lot, I spent either by myself or with my best friend. Mm-hmm.
Best friend. The best friend is cock blocking.
Or with my When we were in Ibiza, there was this guy that we passed by. He was a barker for a club. We passed by a couple of times because I'm performing down the street for a couple of nights in a row. She was like, he's hot. He's not necessarily my type, but he was cute enough.
Aww.
So she's not necessarily cock blocking.
Yes. You know, I have two upcoming trips. I'm going to Hawaii. Maybe it happens there. I'm going to Europe in May, so maybe it happens there. Maybe that's how I bring in my 40th birthday.
Yeah.
Riding on somebody in the jacuzzi.
I have never had sexy times away until that time in Ibiza, and that's the only time ever.
I have dated people in different states. And I would travel to go see them. And that was all our relationship, like traveling to go see them. And, you know, we have a great time, but we're not together. So I have had that experience. One of my trips, I did, you know, we didn't have sex in the jacuzzi, but we were definitely, you know, touching and filling and kissing and all that good stuff, which he wasn't a great kisser. So that kind of ruins the experience.
So bad.
Yeah. So maybe, you know, I got at least two upcoming vacations. Maybe I'm releasing no sex in jacuzzi and piling on sex in a jacuzzi. So let's see if it happens in April, May. Unlike Kiva, I would tell you guys. I'm going to tell you guys if it happens.
There's nothing to tell.
I
can tell you that I
met this guy. Okay.
Yes. And we were not in a full on relationship.
So what gave you the courage to tell him? He seems very open.
Yeah.
That's why. Yeah, he seems free.
Before I met him, like 2 months before I met him, I was like, come on, universe. Like, you know, someone who will do ecstasy with me on a Tuesday because we've got nothing else to do.
Yes,
I was too literal.
That was the guy. It's so funny because when I first met Kiva and I met her with this guy, I was like, oh, they're such an interesting couple. But that was the experience that I walked away. Like, they would do something like that. And I thought you guys were two free bunnies. I'm not surprised that that's what you asked for and then you got.
Okay, but I want all the other things too.
Yeah, he seems very, like, wild in a good way where he would do anything. Have you ever dated a bisexual guy?
I would.
I have never.
Have I? I definitely fucked one.
I have not knowingly dated a bisexual, but who knows? I think that would be a turnoff for me.
Really?
Because I like very masculine.
But what if they're very
masculine? Yeah, they could be very masculine. You know, one guy did ask me if I would peck him. Is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm.
When he asked me, I was like, I know we have many different things happening in the bedroom. And so I'm open to it, like, exploring. Whether I do it and like it, that's a different thing. So I say that to say, you know, maybe there is a nice looking bisexual masculine guy that I find out, and then I will still be open. I'm an open person, so I can never say never, but I was at least open. Like, once he told me, I was still on the dating train with him. But we never got serious. So.
Did he was bisexual or just wanted
to? He just wanted to. He just told me he likes that.
I can't peg you and still be your woman, but I can peg you and be your dom. Yeah.
I don't know.
I can fiddle.
You put your hand inside
my hand there, okay. Fingers. My last heartbreak. He's the only dude that I ever, like, licked ass with.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed him.
Was he also the dom, or?
He's the dom, yeah.
Okay, I knew it.
I do miss him.
So that's your soulmate out there. What if he's single? What if he's single, you're single, would you hook up?
I would actually consider.
That's probably your soulmate out there. I don't know if I was open. Like, it was such in the beginning stage where, would I actually be in a relationship with him? That's a different story. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't. Mm-hmm. I'm in the stage where.
Because you guys never got to sex.
We never got to sex.
You never got to sex, and he asked if he would peg you?
He asked me on the first.
Interesting. Yeah. That's really interesting.
So then, I think he was more so looking for that.
Yeah,
versus,
he was.
Versus, like, a relationship. Yeah. He was just looking for a girl.
Or he decided that he knows what he needs and expressed that.
Yeah, which is good. So I'm of the opinion he was scared to tell me, but I'm like, I want people to tell me things.
Mm-hmm.
What you like to do in the bedroom is such a huge, like, even though it's only, a small portion of our life, it's such a huge part of our life. I'm not going to turn you down I might experience it and be like, okay, that's actually not for me, but I'm actually going to try it. Now, eating ass, that's a different situation. I like my ass eating, but I don't know if I can eat somebody else's ass. If I like the person enough, I will try it. But so I would never say, my answer is never no. So,
it was very early with him.
Yeah.
We were not in a relationship yet, but I was very much enjoyed.
But like, I want to get like, to a point where I could, because I know that's where their spot is.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Most dudes are not open to
it. Yeah, they're not open. I remember one time I put my hand near an ex, like, anus, and he got so furious.
Yeah. I think because there's so much power there, they feel like they're giving you too much.
And because, like, that's associated with gay sex, I think, a lot of time. Yeah, that they feel like it's, like, taking their manhood away. I dated a cop once. I was trying to remember what he asked for. But it wasn't nothing strange. It was, maybe it was, like, come on people's face. Or he didn't
I don't like that.
Or he didn't want to come inside. I don't know. Something.
Don't come inside me either. I'm not trying to have
babies. I wouldn't mind coming on my face. Just don't get in my eyes.
They always do. And water if it's in your hair.
Watch me down.
Come on my face. Do not spit on my pussy.
Oh. I don't. So that's one thing I'm not sure if I will be willing to do. Some guys like to spit in your mouth or want you to spit in them. I don't know. I don't even know if I want to spit in you. I don't know. I definitely don't want you to spit in my mouth. Even though we're kissing, I don't want you to spit in my mouth. If you want to spit on my pussy, that's totally okay.
No.
Okay. Yes. It's just a little extra wetness.
The right dude, yes, you can spit in my mouth. Do not ever spit on my pussy.
Not in my mouth, but in my pussy, yes. Not in my mouth. The other mouth.
Ever spit in my pussy. I am wet enough.
I'm pretty open. And the reason why I'm so open is because I have so much more life to experience. I mean, I haven't tried so much. And so a lot of things that I'm open to trying now is like, do I like this? I'll try it to see if I like it. And if I don't like it, then at least I know, okay, I don't like that. Or I like that. And I'm going to keep doing that. Like with so many things, relationships. Because when I went on that date with the poly person, I was like, that's not my ideal relationship. I'm too possessive and too jealous to be in a poly relationship. I want all of your time, every single day. And I can't deal with all these other folks. But I'm open. As I enter my 40s, I'm all about freshness and experimenting and realizing what I don't do and don't like.
I have a question.
Yes.
What kind of friend are you when you are in a relationship?
Friend, as far as like with my friends, I'm not the friend that you need to talk to every single day. I'm not the friend, like I'm your good friend, requires not a lot of attention. I'm not the friend that, you know, will be on the phone with you every single day. But if you're in an emergency, I will come and, you know, that type of person. So the type of friend I am in my partner always comes first. Even in some cases, some of my own desires take the back seat.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is why I often say that some of the life that I had outside of a relationship was more expansive than the life I would have had if I would have got married.
Mm-hmm.
Because my partner becomes a priority. And I'm good at prioritizing my number one, which is that person.
I'm terrible.
Yeah.
I'm like, you are new. She's been here for 20 years.
See, I would never tell my partner that. I'd be like, you've been here 20 years. He's new. Just so funny. I need to grow to be able to still maintain who I am in relationships.
I'm still a single and married woman, though. Because I, with my younger daughter's dad, we had constant fights over my male friend. By the time he and I got together, and I had known each other for 10-ish years. So we have now known each other for 22 years. Yes, we had been intimate way before and established such a strong bond. And he and I don't talk every day now, but he's still a non-negotiable in my life.
Good. Yeah.
the Mogwai's dad and I, it was beef. There was so many arguments that we had over specifically, but also because I had other male friends that I may or may not have been intimate with that were in my life that had established themselves and are still there, most of them. And he's not. So I'm not altering anything for you. You have to step up to this. They're not even getting sex and coming over because I'm sick as a dog, got finals and the baby. I come out of a feverish nap on the couch because I was, this is a true story, dog fucking sick to already in my kitchen because Delaney knows him well and let him in. And I woke up to him doing my dishes and he had cooked my child a meal. And my dude at the time was like, oh, you're sick. I'm going to stay away because I don't want to be sick as well. You got to step up to that level.
In that case, yes. I am a total opposite person in a relationship versus who I am as a friend. But I'm learning to be a better friend. So to all my friends out there, well, all of my friends says I'm a great friend, but I'm not the friend that is on the phone with them all the time. I remember I had this one gay guy friend. That guy used to call me every single day. And I was like, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. I feel smothered. Smothered. And we used to go out every Friday, all because of his story. We used to be out every Friday, Saturday. Like, we were glued at the hip. We had a falling out. And I do miss him because, like, he would have been my pod buddy if he was still around during the pandemic. Like, he was a friend that I never had. And I had to adjust to that type of friend. And he used to always tell me, yeah, if we're still single by X amount of date, we're just going to have kids together. Yeah, it was. We had a nice friendship. Unfortunately, we started working together, and then it is just business and pleasure does not mix. So.
Sometimes it does.
Yeah. Well, in my experience, well, he actually recommended me for the job, and then I end up getting the job, and then I become his boss, and then.
Oh, that's different dynamic.
Yeah, I know.
Sometimes people don't deal with the change of dynamic well.
Yeah, and I also think I was such a young boss at that time that. Some of the mistakes I made as a boss I wouldn't do now. Like, we were still in our 20s back then. And one time I accidentally called him, and then he called me back and I didn't answer. This was pre-pandemic.
I know. What were you scared of?
Well, one, going back to what we said earlier, I feel like, you know, once people show you who you who they are, like, in that job, that was a very hard job. I was the only black person. My gay friend was Latino. I was, and this was before everyone started saying words like anti-blackness. So we didn't have that language. Here I am in this very predominantly Latino space. I experiencing as a black person that these people do not want me as their boss. Instead of him standing, like, supporting me in this very difficult role, he starts also, like, saying how awful and bad I am. He became part of the water cooler conversation in my head. Like, and then also what I did wrong. He made a comment about, like, turning, like, our constituents against the organization. And instead of me saying, okay, he's just upset and angry, I'll just take that as it is. Like, I had to communicate that up. But, like, he's trying to, like, organize people against us. And so that's what I did wrong. So it was just like a toxic work environment and neither of us feeling supported in that work environment. And our friendship was not able to sustain me being your boss, you doing something wrong, and then you don't like your boss and you like participating in water cooler conversations.
How long between the breakup and the accidental call?
Yeah, and I like that you said breakup because going back to rejection, like this was a breakup because me and him was like, we were together like every Friday, Saturday. So it was definitely a breakup. I don't know if I thought of it back then as that, but I would say maybe like this was closer to like before the pandemic started. So maybe like 3, 4, 5 years. It was a long period between us breaking up to that accidental call.
There's a lot of room for growth.
I know. And I thought about calling him one time. One time I went to his Facebook and kind of, you know, see what's going on with him. And I know he moved. Still in California, but he moved. So I thought about reaching out. But I don't know if I answered your question. Yeah, the pain. It's like
Breakups are hard.
Yeah, and that would have been, if we would have stuck it out all these years, I know for sure that would have been my bestie. That would have been the person that would have been probably our third person on this podcast. And he had such a larger than life personality. Like, he was into fashion, like, says whatever he feels. So he would have definitely been a great personality on this podcast. So
you never know.
Maybe this episode is encouraging me to reach out. I don't know. Because I do recognize what I did wrong. But yeah, it would be like a lot of rebuilding that would need to happen.
Of course. But there is always room for, I did this thing in this moment because that's all I knew to do. I've grown this much, and I would like to at least say sorry. And that's hard as shit for people to do, but it's brave when you do it.
You know, it's so funny because that happened to me on the other end with a friend that I used to be in graduate school with. Like, the first year we were friends. Second year we ended up being in a group together, and you know, class groups. Brings out the worst in everybody, and she just wasn't carrying her weight, and like, that lost my trust, right? Like, I can't count on you to deliver what you need to deliver. We were in a group and it was like three other people, and I don't remember exactly what happened, but I do know, like, I was like, wow, she's not carrying her weight. So she called me years later and she was like, I just want to say I'm sorry, you know. She told me what was going on. I was so young where I probably, what you're saying, I couldn't receive it. Like, I was like, okay, thank you. But it was like, okay, why is she calling me?
I've moved past it. I'm not going to be your friend again.
Yeah. Like, or like, even if I'm like, I'm cool. Like, it can't, I don't know. That's something I need to work on. I can't, like, once I have mentally and emotionally moved on, it's hard. Like, I don't circle the block. I love when people circle the block because then it just boosts my ego, but I don't circle the block. Like, because I'm like, once it's done, and I'm here, you're there. Like, even if we try to repair it, it's not going to be the same because the trust is broken. And trust is so important to me.
The not going to be the same thing is the aspect that I think people have a harder time with. I can come around, but you're gonna have to show me that you're not gonna do the same thing again.
Yes.
Because sometimes we see what we did and then we do it again.
Yes.
And again.
And that's the hardest part for me. Very, very extremely hard. Because that also tears up the trust. Because I'm a person that takes words literally. So if you're apologizing to me for doing X, but then you continue to do X, then I don't even trust that your apology meant anything. Now I'm just thinking you know what to say, but you know what to do, but you don't have the capacity or the will or the ableness to do it.
Right. I feel like in this day, not back then, but in this day, you read an Instagram square.
Yes.
And had a glimpse of self-awareness, but you haven't done the work around.
Yes.
Around creating a new, what's the word? A new something, whatever. Yes.
Finding language.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Our behavior, or even finding language. Don't say you're sorry. Somebody told me recently, I don't like when you brought something up in public. I didn't know that was such a taboo for them. Thank you for telling me. Now I know that I better manage myself to not bring it up in public. That's going to take a lot of managing of me. Like, I'm going to be honest, like, transparent. It's going to take a lot. Because we're opposite. If that person has communicated that to me, then I know if I want to be his friend, that I got to honor that he's saying don't bring stuff up to me in public.
Yep.
But also when he was telling me and I'm like, okay, next time I would not bring it up, I know that's going to be hard. Because not that I want to have this whole like fight in public, but I just feel like, we're just opposite. We're just opposite. And so I think we just got to be honest and transparent with ourselves. And so what I do is put room of accountability for me in place. Even when I'm like at work, I'm like, if I don't get something to you by X date, reach out to me. So I told this person, if I ever do that again, just stop me in the moment. Because then I can respond in the moment.
I'm sorry.
Versus I miss, like I forgot, because I'm used to, I'm 39. Like we all have traits and behavior. I forget that you don't like this. And I forget, and I don't manage myself well in that moment. So I say that to say, like, sometimes we can apologize and we can still do it. But I think we also have to figure out how do we communicate to people who we are. Like, I might make a mistake. That's not my intention. Just call me out in the moment and I'll try to course correct.
Yeah. And also with the grace of knowing that things don't change overnight.
Yes.
You are who you are. For me, it doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah.
You can, I don't like this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This is how I am. And like you said, just tell me in the moment. Give you permission to pinch me when I am revealing too much.
Yes. I welcome that because I appreciate this person telling me what they prefer. And now I have to respect what they prefer. And because I recognize myself, hopefully you also don't judge me. Just reel me in. Say, hey, let's talk about this later. That would be my cue to shut the F up.
Yeah,
and
something.
Save it for later.
I've run across a lot of people that don't want to be reprimanded in the moment.
Yeah.
That don't want to be told how to handle you at all. But those are people that you don't want.
Yeah.
They just want to do what they want to do to you, and it's not okay. But when you're invested, then you take the note. And then when you want the relationship to continue, friendship, whatever relationship it is, to continue, then there's this dance back and forth until you get to the place where you have learned each other enough.
Mm-hmm. And respect each other and know each other's heart. Like, I think in the beginning stage, or even in that, even with my gay friend, even though we had so many rich experiences, like this guy had me, like I was living my best life when me and him was friends, because he had me in the clubs, like we were having fun, and then I knew all his secrets, but I was going to say, like, in the beginning stage, you're still learning that, but our friendship showed that you constantly have, like, if both of us, like, we're in our 20s, if both of us have the language, well, at least, I don't know where he's at, but at least if I had the language now, I would have at least talked to him. I would at least, both of us would have had this language around anti-blackness, and I would have been able to communicate what I was experiencing in that workplace. I would have been a different manager because of that experience now versus then, that I could have heard if I did something different or did something that wasn't a good manager. So I think, but we just didn't have the language. We just were in our 20s and just still trying to figure it out. But I think that's the beauty of having relationships in our 39s, 40s. If you continue to do the work, then you kind of grow your tool belt to be able to have these tough conversations. And I think as long as people are trying, that they are trying to be the good friend or good partner, there's grace in that. But a person who shows consistently that they're not able, then it does not work in your favor or my favor for us to continue to have these conversations.
No, they have to grow to that point. And it's not your job to make them grow.
Yes.
They have to decide to grow.
Yes.
It's really sad when you have to leave people behind.
I know. Or when you prematurely leave people behind, which might have happened with me and my friend.
Or sometimes it's time, though.
Yeah,
sometimes you need the break. Yes. I definitely believe in breaks.
Yes.
And the nature of the relationship is not always the same.
Yes. Well, I think it's time for us to, our glasses are empty.
They are empty. The bottle is empty.
The bottle is empty. It's almost 10 p.m.
Oh,
it's time.
Nighttime. Mimi's.
Time to wind this down. But we were also going to talk about also being the person that's rejecting someone. So we can save that for another episode, unless you wanted to quickly talk about that before we wrap
definitely
up.
It rejected people.
Yeah, me too. And I think I got more kindness as I got older. I try not to ghost people. You know, the biggest thing, I'm sorry, guys, but the biggest thing that I have recognized, and this might sound weird, but I would say pre-pandemic, but older, like in my 30s, I recognize that I can say no. That I can be the one, like, I used to try to make things happen, force things to happen. And I remember one day, I was like, I can actually just say no. Or I can actually just say, I don't want to be in this relationship. Versus trying to force it and then let it, let me get exhausted and just be like, oh, actually, you know, I, like, basically what I told that guy in Oakland, like, this is not going to work. Like, it took me a long time to realize that I can do that and made dating a lot easier.
Yeah. Can I leave you with my stepmother, the number four?
Yes.
Her advice.
My stepmother number four. I just got it.
Her advice via her auntie that I never met, or her auntie's advice via her, however that works. She told me that her auntie used to tell her, if there is a beat up, can't get it to start, run down, rusted Volkswagen bug in your driveway, then there's no room for your dream car to pull in.
That was advice. That was
the that big O. That has stuck with me since I was about.
That was the big O of the night. 18. So if it, I just want to repeat it to make sure I'm taking my orgasm with me. That I'm not leaving it at the table. That if there is a rusted car in the garage or driveway, there's no room for that Bentley to pull in.
If your dream car is a Bentley. My dream car is not a Bentley.
Yeah. But I have my dream car, which is a Jeep. But whatever that dream car is.
Oh, you already have your dream car.
Yeah, that was my dream car since I was in high school. I said, walked home from school and it's to be a pink Jeep park. And I said, I want that car one day. So it's not pink, but it's yellow. So I finally got my dream car. But whatever that expensive, I take it as expensive, that valuable car.
Whatever your dream is.
Yeah. It's not room for them to, for it to pull in. And I think that's, ladies and gentlemen, is what we should take with us.
I think so too. Yeah. Stuck with me for a long time. Yes. I have limits on how long I am willing to be in a miserable relationship.
That part.
Even when there are kids involved.
That part. I would take us down another lip story, but I think we should. Okay, so I think that's my big O for the night. I had another big O, but I like that one, and I think it's kind of.
Oh, I don't want to take away your other O. We can have multiple O's.
Well, I wanted to find my big O because.
Are you multiply orgasmic?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Good. You can have another one.
Yeah, I can have multiple, right? With the right partner. But my big O was actually Jill Scott, because she actually spoke to me.
Oh.
And she said, no, not literally, but.
I got excited.
I was listening to a clip, and I think, and I just found it, and this clip really spoke to me as we're starting this podcast journey. And when I heard Jill Scott saying this, I think on a podcast, it kind of spoke to me that it's okay to be all these other things and also talk about sex. Here it goes.
Read a book or two. Yeah, I like to work in the garden. Yeah, I like to go fishing. Yeah, I like to spend some money on some Louis Vuitton every now and then. But I like to fuck too. And I also like to make love. And I prefer that if I could get it. And then some fucking too. Sexist.
So when I heard her said that, as someone that I admire and looks very like, appears to be a respectable human being, and can, and all her music is like, you know, is also about sex, and you hear all the things that she does at her concerts, that it spoke to me to say, as I'm starting this journey and I'm sharing myself with the world, that I can be all of these things. I could be the person that's wants to fight for social justice, but I can also be the person that talks to you about my favorite sex position, and that's okay, that I'm all of it. So that was my message from, I'm not sure if she would be considered my auntie because I'm not sure how old she is, but my older sister might be a better word.
Maya Angelou was a stripper.
Oh, I didn't know that.
She went as Miss Calypso. Oh. And she did a sing and strip. And it wasn't strip. Think of times are different. Wasn't stripped to like nakedness. Mm-hmm. But she showed a lot of skin.
Yes, yes.
Maya Angelou.
Yes.
Was a stripper.
And I think about something that you said when we were starting this podcast, or in many conversations that we had since we've been starting this journey together. You said that there's power in sex.
Oh, yeah.
And I think oftentimes society tries to prevent women from having these type of conversations that we talked about. Why? Because there's power in sex. And they don't want us to have that power. And they want to power over us in the bedroom. So then their manhood would not be hurt when we tell them, actually, do it this way. Because they will receive it as they're not doing it right, and that will crush their manhood. So, you know, I
sorry.
Think...
I had a flashback.
I Oh, you did? Mm-hmm. You crushed somebody's manhood in the bedroom by telling them, by giving them suggestions or helping them understand how you like it?
Can you... You're kind of crushing... my right leg, can you just a little more, just come off, jumped up, he's in a studio apartment, so I could see him in the kitchen, and he's like up against the wall at the kitchen, like, no, 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 no.
He's a black guy?
Yes. Oh, wow. Black and Mexican.
Okay.
No, 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 for like a minute and a half, probably. And when he comes back, he comes up and he's on the bed, like crouched like Gollum. This, the bed, this is wow. sacred. There will be no corrections.
Oh, wow.
In the bedroom.
Wow. And his feelings.
Indication. I did break up with him.
Yeah, that's a huge indication that they are not the right partner for so many reasons. It shows that they cannot take feedback, which any good relationship, I need to be able to give you feedback. It shows that you're not open to what I desire and want in this.
Or that you're crushing my fucking leg.
All right, what's our dry hump of the week?
I did.
Well, while you're thinking, I'll share my.
You
dry
have
hump.
One?
Yeah, I have one.
You came prepared. I did because my kid took a mental health day, which meant I got no mental health.
My dry hump is, I took this jacket to the cleaners, which is on the couch. It's a black jacket, and it has like a faux fur collar, and the faux fur collar has a button where I need to. It buttons on, and it keeps the faux fur on. On one side, the button is no longer attached. And the fur is not staying on.
Before I took it
to the cleaners.
Okay.
Well, wait for it. I took it to the cleaners twice. The first time I took it, I said, sew the button tighter so I can be able to button it and I can go about my business and wear my faux fur. I get it back and it's still not put together. Took it to a new cleaner. I told them, just sew the collar on so that I don't have to worry about the button. I got my jacket, tried to wear it yesterday to the Alvin Ailey performance, and the collar falls completely off. I come home and I'm like, did they charge me for this? It says $8 charge for the collar. So now I have to take this black jacket back for the third time. And the first time I didn't take it back and say it's not done the way I want it. But this time I'm taking it back to the cleaners and say I paid for it. I asked for this and the collar is not on the jacket. Sew it to the jacket. So that's my dry hump. Like, I appreciate having a clean jacket to wear, but I still haven't got what I needed and I'm not satisfied.
Very annoying. It fell off while you were out?
Well, I took the dog for the walk and then the collar is on the ground. So I said, maybe they just fixed the button, which I would have gave them grace and just flowed with it. But then I put it on the button and then it's on the ground the next time I see it. So
that is incredibly annoying.
Yes.
Also, do I have to teach you how to sew on the button?
I'm trying to find a housekeeper. I don't know if I want to learn new tasks. I'm trying to going back to what the season is requiring me to do. I'm trying to release. not add. I had to subtract, not add.
Oh, wow. Oh, that is very annoying. Yes. I do hate it when they don't do the thing that you asked.
I know. And you charge me for it?
Mm-hmm.
So, what happened?
My dry hump of the week is social media. And it's not just social media, but like people with social media. Mm-hmm. We all know that there are algorithms. Mm-hmm. We're very well aware. And I had this interaction on Friday when I was visiting my girlfriend. Was it Friday? No, it was last Tuesday. Last Tuesday, not even Friday. She was down here from San Francisco. We went to the jacuzzi of the place she was house sitting. We're talking about Palestine and Israel things. This one dude who also got in the jacuzzi with his friend who never said a fucking word interrupts our conversation to say, I don't know what his point was, but he wanted us to know that he's a Zionist. I think we handled it very well. But in the midst of that conversation, something came up. She was like, you don't see these things about the genocide and the bombing. And I looked at her and said, he doesn't see them. No, he doesn't. Because he doesn't follow those things. In like his algorithm is different from your algorithm. And my dry hump is, especially we're in election season. We still have a few more primaries left. I want people to know that the things that they're seeing are specifically geared to push you in the direction that you want. They're geared to polarize you. Not on purpose, maybe, in some cases. Like, I don't know that Instagram Meta is trying to polarize you, but the way that their system works is definitely meant to get you addicted, and one of the best ways to get you addicted is to feed you things that you want. So I want to challenge people to, if you are a Fox News watcher, watch some MSNBC. And vice versa. I love public, specifically public radio, because that's my favorite medium. I definitely am into public media, but I have to watch commercial media every once in a while so that I know what most people are getting fed. Look at the other side of your world, because your world is not the only one.
And I would add to that, if you're only getting your news from podcasts or YouTube, or
stop doing that.
Yeah,
places that's not where, news. That's places, opinions.
Yes, places where people are sharing their opinions and they're not held to certain standards to make sure that they're telling you the truth. Diversify how you're receiving your news.
Oh my gosh, the journalist in me went, yeah, definitely. It's worse now, but I got my journalism degree in 2010. That was the moment that blogs and podcasts were becoming a thing. They weren't everywhere as they are now. They told me to start a blog. I should have, just because it would have got me work in the field, but I didn't want to.
Yes.
The work that I got coming right out of college, there was a lot of content mills. I couldn't. After a couple months, sure, they paid me $20, $25 an article. They were easy to write. It didn't really matter. I could write about whatever I wanted, but I didn't want to contribute to the clutter of information that has happened.
Yes.
I saw that happening. I said, I don't want to be a part of it. And that's still exactly what has happened. And I really wish that people understood how much the powers that be don't give a shit what side you're on. They want you fighting against each other so that you're not paying attention to what they're doing.
Yes.
Get your information from other places.
Yeah.
Challenge your own ideals by listening to someone else.
And even if we start talking about politics or the news, which you'll definitely hear that on our podcast, recognize we're just two people with our opinions, and I'm definitely going to encourage you to go to the news to get the actual factual thing. But I also going to do my best to share what I'm hearing, what I think are facts. but I don't want to you to see me as a journalist because I might make mistakes and I'd rather you blame CNN versus me. But anything else, Kiva? Any other dry humps?
No, that's
anything
it.
Else that pissed you off? Any announcements? Anything that we want to share? Anything happening in April?
I've got lots happening in April. Last time I told y'all that I'll be in Seattle for the Seattle Erotic Art Festival.
Yes.
If you're in the Los Angeles area, I have shows the second week of April.
And Kiva's a burlesque dancer.
I am most well known as a burlesque dancer. I'm a stripper who does burlesque shows. But also I do all sorts of other types of
dance.
And
if you have a fetish for feet and you want to have a session with Kiva.
250, 2 hours.
Slide in the DMs. Slide in the DMs.
I have real pretty feet. Super high arches. They're tiny.
Somebody was able to deep throat it. So if that's what you like to do in your spare time, slide in the DMs. Okay, but I think you should tell people where they can go to your Instagram and learn more about these shows if they wanted to come to some
of
the shows.
At Kiva Siani on Instagram.
Yes.
You can follow my Facebook, but I'm not paying attention to you and I'm not looking at my friend requests.
Yes, and we'll put our Instagrams in the show notes. My Instagram is Travel with Kiki. Kiki is spelled with two I's on Instagram because someone else has
K-I-K-I.
K-I-K-I-I on
two
Instagram.
Two I's?
Yeah, because
I didn't ever notice that before.
Else had K-I-K-I.
Oh.
So I had to do double I's to separate myself.
They also had Travel with Kiki?
I don't remember, but I just know it was the only option in order for me to finalize my Instagram. Yes. So Travel with
Kiki.
Well,
two I's at the end.
Yes. So definitely follow us on our Instagram. We'll definitely have our Instagrams in our show notes and the spelling of our names. You know, I'm going to be traveling next month. So the only thing that the only announcement I have is hopefully I'm getting it on in a jacuzzi one day.
Yeah. I wish all that
yes,
for you.
Yes, but a nice Samoan guy too. Samoans have always been my... So hopefully,
that's a pretty thing.
Yeah, they're very gorgeous. So hopefully,
that's what tall dude was. He's half black, half Samoan.
I always had a thing for Samoans. Yeah. Always, even when I was in my most revolutionary Afrocentric days, you would always catch me if I had the opportunity with a Samoan.
I don't
I think
blame you.
We grew up together and it felt like one big community. So hopefully that's my announcement and follow me on Instagram and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.